I was thinking when I got back off holiday, it suddenly occurred to me, I'm speaking on Sunday. I ought to sort of try. I've finished my Holy Spirit series, and what shall I do next? And then as I was thinking, I suddenly thought, oh goodness, this is my last Sunday sort of officially here speaking until the end of my sabbatical. So I thought, oh, well, maybe I'd better start a series because it would only be this week and then you'd have a long time to wait for the rest of it. So what I thought I'd do this morning, if you don't mind, rather than a sermon as such, that I would just tell you a little bit about what I'm planning for the next 12, 14, however many weeks it is. First of all, I just wanted to say, before I say anything else, a big thank you to Kevin and Richard and Wendy for offering me the opportunity of doing a sabbatical. I realise that I'm in a very privileged position, that I'm able to do this, and that not everybody that works has this opportunity. And when when I got the card that was said about the sabbatical, at first I was thinking, I don't think I need a sabbatical. I don't know why I would take a sabbatical. But then when I thought about it, I thought, well, no, actually, and some of the other ministers were doing sabbaticals as well. So I thought, well, no, I'll say yes. And obviously since then I've been thinking about it, and I've been looking at what other people, do on theirs to see if there's a structure to it. And it turns out that everybody does things completely different. Jason, who at Broadwater Baptist, who's starting his, I think in July, has got a spreadsheet that he's been working on for the last 2 years, and who's got it all organised and timed, which sort of like was really scary. And I was thinking, oh no, how am I going to do that? And you know, what I felt like, oh, what would the expectation on me for the sabbatical be? And you know, would I have to study, and do I have to come up with something at the end of it? And what if I get to the end of my sabbatical and I've got absolutely nothing to say to you, and all I can say is, well, I had a nice 3 months off. And so all these things, all these things sort of run through your mind. I felt a bit better when I spoke to Dawn from Offington Park Methodist Church, who has a sabbatical now. She started hers at the beginning of May and went on a cruise. So, but taken in Rome, her and her husband have always wanted to go to Rome, and because of his health, he's not able to fly. And so they thought, because they had this extended time, that they were able to take the time to do something that they really wanted to do. I've also read some books, and I put something together, and I got all these ideas, and I was thinking, oh yeah, then when I come back, we'll be able to, sort of research these different projects, and then when I come back we can get stuck into them. And then I talked to Vicky and she said, that's not a sabbatical. She said, that's not what it's for, that's work, the sabbatical's different. So as I've been sort of looking at things and thinking about it, I've sort of realized that the sabbatical isn't necessarily about what I do, but it's about being. It's about being in that time, sort of listening to God, making that space that in my normal course of a week doesn't happen with the best will in the world. My week, I sort of plan out, you know, Thursdays is the day I think about my sermon and start planning. Invariably, that never happens, and I'm doing it on Saturday. So, you know, things change. I was reading one guy that had done a sabbatical, and he's talking about how he did it. I think he must have been a bit like Jason. And he said this. He said, another reason I put together a detailed sabbatical plan is because I like to know what's coming. If this is more than a vacation or a holiday, then I need to prove it. I need to justify, most importantly to myself, why I'm taking a sabbatical. I've always agreed with Jean-Paul Sartre, who gave us the action-orientated, to do is to be. But others side with the more laid-back Socrates, who says, to be is to do. And the smartest people side with Frank Sinatra, who said, doobie doobie doo. We spend all our lives doing and not nearly enough time just being. Sabbath is a time to just be in God's presence, to be still and know that God is God and we are not. And I thought that's probably a good place for me to start with my sabbatical. But the word actually comes from the word Sabbath. And I know that Kevin put together our PowerPoint presentation right at the beginning when he explained about our sabbatical, at my sabbatical. But I thought, just for a few moments, I'd like to think a little bit more about what a Sabbath is. Because this isn't, you know, this doesn't just apply to me. This is for all of us. It's actually part of the commandments that God gave to Moses when he gave us the Ten Commandments. So Sabbath, it's about rest, it's about stopping, it's about being. And what the Ten Commandments, what it's the commandment says is this: remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you, nor your son or daughter, nor your male or female servant, nor your animals, nor any foreigner residing in your towns. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them. But he rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. So he gives us this day of rest, this opportunity for rest. Not because, you know, it's like, unfortunately, in years gone by, Sundays became a day where it was rules and regulations and you can't do this and you can't do that. And rather than it being a blessing to us, it became almost like a curse to us in a way. My mum said that when she was young, they had a difficult family life, and she got sent to stay with an aunt. She didn't know that was happening. Just one day, her mum put her on the bus. She ended up in Manchester. She went to stay with her family, and although they were churchgoers, they weren't particularly kind to her, but she said she dreaded Sundays. Sundays was the worst day of the week for her because they had these rules and regulations, and then she had to sit in the afternoon and she had to read a book. They had to walk to church. So they were a very sort of legalistic family. And when she was telling me this, I felt so sad because I thought, that's not what God intended the Sabbath to be for us. God intended the Sabbath to be a time of rest, a time when we could say, you know what, life's mad, life's hectic, but we're going to put this full stop in here and we're going to take rest. We're going to take a step back. And when we think about it, if you look at the life of Jesus, you know, no one was more committed to mission than Jesus. No one had a bigger vision about what his role was than Jesus. And yet he knew when to take that time out. Sometimes it was a night he would go off and pray. Sometimes he'd get up early in the morning to find time just to move away from everything that was going around, all the people that were demanding his attention, and he took time away. Sometimes it was 40 days and 40 nights. So Jesus knew. He almost had a rhythm to his life. And I think that's what God intends for us, the best way that we can live is to find that rhythm of life where, yes, we work and yes, we have all the commitments that life brings, but there are also those times when we step back, when we find that place of rest, that time when we can just be. Part of the Sabbath as well, although it was about rest, was also about honouring God, honouring his creation. You know, God rested. He created for 6 days. He saw that it was really good. And he didn't say on the seventh day, that's fantastic, right, what are we doing next? He says God rested. God took a step back. He looked at what he'd done. He appreciated what he created. He looked at it. He saw it was good. He took pleasure in it. You know, sometimes we miss that, don't we, in our hectic lives. We forget that actually, amongst all of that, that God is there. God is working. He's doing things. And if we don't take that step back, if we don't take the opportunity to just think, hang on a minute, you know, God, what have you been doing? It's amazing what you've been doing in us and amongst us. So the Sabbath is for rest, but it's about appreciating who God is and honouring him and worshipping him. So let's look for that rhythm of working and rest in our own lives. If we look at the book of Exodus as well, where we read about the Ten Commandments, it goes on for a few chapters where God expands on that for Moses. And in Exodus 23, verses 10 to 12, he says this, "Plant and harvest your crops for 6 years, but let the land be renewed and lie uncultivated during the seventh year. Then let the poor among you harvest whatever grows on its own. Leave the rest for wild animals to eat. The same applies to your vineyards and olive groves. You have 6 days each week for your ordinary work, but on the seventh day you must stop working. This gives your ox and your donkey a chance to rest. It also allows your slaves and the foreigners living amongst you to be refreshed." So in that stopping, I think anyone that maybe knows anything about agriculture, there, you know, years and years ago, that they would have a crop rotation where I think it was every third year they would leave the ground fallow so that the ground got a chance to renew and for those nutrients and everything to be put back into the ground. And a lot of the problems that we see in the world today where areas that were once very fertile are now barren is because the land has been overworked. Because there have been crops planted and all the goodness has gone out of the soil. And now it's useless. You know, God knew long before we ever did studies on it that actually the way that we work best, the way that the world works best, the way that the earth that he's created works best, is if we have this time of work and this time of rest. The land needs it. We're told the animals need it. We know we shouldn't overwork our animals. God has set this out because he knows what's best for us. He wants those things for us. He wants us to be refreshed. So the Sabbath is also about being refreshed. We need to plan in those times that bring refreshing to us. So what encourages you? What makes you feel good? What is it that you enjoy doing that when you've done it, you think, oh, I'm really glad I did that. Maybe it's going out for a meal with your friends or coffee. Or like for me, I love to do some craft. I know some people think, oh, I can't imagine that would be. But for me, I find I can concentrate on it and do it. When I've done it, I feel better at the end of it. I feel invigorated. So find the things that will refresh you, that isn't work, that's something different that you can enjoy to do. As I've been planning my sabbatical, Vicky's going to be sort of keeping me on track and just checking that I'm okay and that I'm sort of doing what I've sort of set down to do. But when we were talking about it, and I was saying, I haven't really got a plan, but these are the things I want to achieve. One of the things that we realized as I was going through it is that I want to complete things. I don't know about you, but I'm not very good at completing things. I'm really good at starting things, and I'm always very enthusiastic when I start something, but when it comes to finishing them, I'm not so good because I want to move on to the next thing, or something else comes along and I think, oh, well, I'll go back to that later. So I think, Kate, you will understand this. Craft projects, I have a pile of them. One of my aims for my sabbatical is I want to try and finish some of the things that I've started. Books, I don't know if anybody else is like this, but obviously, as I prepare sermons and that, and I feel like God's, you know, speaking to me, and I'll see a book and I'll think, oh, that I need to read that. That's just what I need to read. And so I pick up the book and I start, and I'll probably do the first chapter, second chapter. But by then, I'm having to think about something else because my sermon series is finished, and now I'm thinking about something else. So I've got a pile of books that I've started that I've not actually finished. So my sabbatical, one of my aims is to finish the books that I've started. I've got a whole list of things that need to be finished, that need to be complete. Because I find that with all of that, and what I've realized as I've been thinking about coming to my sabbatical, is actually I have a very cluttered mind. And actually a cluttered mind isn't a good thing to have. It can lead to frustration, and it's, you know, it affects my environment, my home, because there's, well, those of you that have been, you know, my craft corner has now encroached onto most of the lounge and my loft. Well, we won't even talk about that. It affects my environment. It affects my mind. So my focus as the, for my sabbatical is that when I come back, I will come back with a cleared mind, with things that are completed, ready to be focused when I come back. So it's an opportunity for me to recharge my physical batteries in those things that I want to do. The Sabbath is also about worship. We read there, didn't we, about that when we rest on the seventh day, that it's to be holy. It's a day for focusing on God. And so it's about taking the time that we'd normally commit to work to instead commit it to God. And so one of the things I'm looking forward to is to be able to go around to other churches to worship and see what goes on there, but also to be able to do it personally without the pressure of being responsible for what's going on. To be able to sit and not think, oh, what have I got to do at the end of the meeting? Who do I need to speak to? Or to have planned out the service and, you know, sort of thinking, oh, you know, where are we going with it? Just to be able to sit and be part and to worship. And as I say, to see what other people do and how they do things, how they approach worship. And who knows, I might even get some ideas or get inspired and bring that back. So to be able to do that will be great. We're going to hopefully visit the churches that we're in the fraternal with in Broadwater, but also with some of our African French churches as well, which I think should be really interesting and finding a new way of worshipping. So I could bring some things back from there, couldn't I? I also want to finish my Bible journaling, which, again, things started, not finished. I also want to work through the book of Romans, which I think I've said before. And I want to do it, it's difficult to explain. When I read my Bible, I read it, and although I am reading it for me, I'm always reading it with another part of my mind that says, oh, that would make a good sermon, or, oh, that might be a good thing to do a series on. So I'm actually looking forward to reading my Bible for me, to see what God's saying to me without me thinking, oh, almost like it being an exercise, actually to be able to read and to take my time and to think I don't need to do anything else with this other than just hear from God. And so I'm looking forward to doing that. And so I've chosen the book of Romans to work through. I'll be able to, as I'm going along, be able to talk to Vicky about it. We're going to spend some time together, just looking at some verses, not anything really structured, but just to be able to encourage each other. So again, it's about, I suppose, feeding my spiritual side. So the physical side, I'll be sort of doing all that other stuff, but spiritually I'll be focusing on that and just looking at hearing from God for me. So it sounds a bit selfish, but I'm sure that actually it will outwork in the end. Yeah, and it hopefully, you know, it will refresh me, and it will be part of that. So I'm looking forward to doing that. So that's a sort of loose plan of what I'll be doing and what I'd like to achieve. And so I'll be resting, reflecting, renewing my spiritual life, completing things. Hopefully I'll do a retreat as well. I'd like to go to Ashburnham to do a few days there. If any of you have not been there, it's a beautiful place, and it's really conducive to being able to do that. So it's a bit exciting, it's a bit scary, and I'm just looking forward to seeing what God's going to do for me, but actually not just with me, but what God's going to be doing here while I'm not here. It is actually a bit, as I started to think about it, I was thinking, oh, I'm not going to know what's going on. I'm not going to know what's happening. And for someone like me, that's a bit like, that's a bit uncomfortable. But I'm sort of looking at it and thinking, but actually, how exciting is it going to be for me to come back and see what's happened here? And I think it's just an amazing opportunity. I hope you think it's an amazing opportunity for all of you to be able to be involved and to, you know, have maybe more input or do things. Because I know I can be a bit of a control freak sometimes, and I rush around doing things because I just think, oh, it's just easier to do it than to try and explain to anybody what I want done. But so for you to have that freedom, to be able to do what you think, and to try things. So can I encourage you, don't be scared to volunteer to do things. Or if you've got an idea, don't be scared to say to Kevin or Richard and Wendy, you know what, I've been thinking, could we do this? I'm sure they'd be really pleased, for you to do that. So let's take it that although it's my sabbatical, it's a sabbatical for all of us, because actually we're all one body. And so what I do will affect you, and what you do affects me. So we're doing this together. And so I hope it's a time of you being able to develop and to be able to encourage each other as well. So when I do my sabbatical, I know I'll be seeing some of you next week, but as I say, the next time that you'll all be together, I won't be here. But we're all still connected. And just to reassure you all, I am coming back unless you all decide that you've managed so well without me that you've got other plans. But my honest intention is I will be back. As Arnold Schwarzenegger says, I'll be back. but out of sight isn't out of contact. You know, you won't be out of our thoughts or out of my mind. We are connected. And when I'm worshipping these next 3 months and whatever I'm doing, whether it's in a different building or a different town, we'll still be praying and singing to God at the same time. I'll just be doing it in a different place. And what I wanted to do, because I like to give these little reminders. I've got some little glass stones here that I'd like you all to take. Actually, I better take one as well. Can you just pass these around? Oh, sorry. Thank you. Because what I thought was, sometimes it's easy to forget, isn't it, when it's a longer period of time to pray for each other or to pray about things. So I thought, well, if we all took a little stone, then every time you see that, maybe you want to keep it in your pocket or, I don't know, put it by your toothbrush or put it somewhere that you'll see it on a regular basis. But why don't we try and keep these stones close to us over this summer? And as we see them and as we touch them, let's remember to pray for each other. If you can pray for me, and I'll be praying for you. And let's pray that, this church of ours, that will continue to grow and will continue to develop. Pray that over this 3 months that I'll really hear from God, and that there'll be a real sense of, when we come back together in September, of a real sense of God moving us forward, of a real renewed sense of vision and passion for God. Please pray for Kevin and Richard and Wendy and Tim, as they will be overseeing this this time that I won't be here. Because obviously a lot of the responsibility will now be on them. So they need your prayers and your encouragement. So let's do that. Let's take our stones. Let's use them as a stone to remind us to keep praying for each other. Pray for me and I'll pray for you. And as we do that, that's a way of honouring God and honouring each other. So, let's pray. Lord, I just want to thank you that you have given us the Sabbath, not as a stick to beat us, not as rules to keep, but actually as a blessing to us, as a time of rest and refreshment, a time of worship and a time to focus on you, a time of blessing. And Lord, I pray that that's what this time over the next 3 months will be for all of us. Lord, that it will be a time when we stop, take a step back, look at who you are, look at what you've done, and Lord, that everything that we do would bring glory to you. Lord, thank you. We thank you for each other, Lord. We thank you that you are here amongst us. Lord, I thank you for each person that is here. Lord, I thank you for all that you have put in each one of us. Lord, the gifts that you've given us, the things, the wisdom, the things that you've taught us. Lord, I pray that you would continue to develop us. And Lord, that we would just work together because we're part of your body. Lord, we can't function without each other. So Lord, I just pray you help us to appreciate each other. Help us to look at ways of blessing and encouraging each other. Lord, we thank you. Lord, we worship you. Amen. Okay, so as you can see this morning, we are going to be breaking bread together. And I thought this is probably a good way, isn't it, of sort of, I suppose, starting a sabbatical, of coming back to this point where that I've...